Gentlemen, a good morning to you, and let's give everybody a moment to get in and out of the courtroom. I believe that has now happened, so you may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, I'm Dave Domina. I'm here on behalf of Kirk Brozek. Mindful of Justice Castle's isolation, I brought you a case from his neighborhood in northwest Antelope County. And this is a case out of our modern agricultural present, not our archaic agricultural past, with two really interesting issues, an action for dissolution of marriage, and the issues involve non-marital and premarital assets principally. I want to talk first about a stock redemption agreement. It's in the record as Exhibits 148 and 219, and I've placed the third page of it before you. This third page of this document was signed in 2003 on March 22nd by the members of the Brozek family. They include the appellant and the appellee in this case. The shares of the corporation involved, Brozek & Sons, Inc., were 100% gifted by the father of my client to both my client and to the appellee in this case. There is no dispute that these shares are non-marital assets. This agreement requires that the shares be valued under a specific formula found in the contract. And according to that value, at the time we tried this case, the value of these shares was $102,000. The evidence in the record is...
Was that based on $12 or $8?
$12, Your Honor. And that number was updated after the contract was signed in one of the annual revaluation events called for by the agreement. The testimony in this case by the father of my client is that if his son were killed on the way home from the courthouse, the corporation would pay $12 a share. The trial court valued these shares at $50. It did that for two reasons that I think are fundamental mistakes requiring your attention. First, the court ignored the fact that this contract was signed by both parties in this case. There is no justification found in the record for allowing either party to escape the agreement that they made. And secondly, if they had not signed it, they had not been gifted, would not have been gifted the shares. It's also important to know that this contract was applied in previous instances in this family. When the father, the grandfather, my client's father's spouse died, her estate used this contract. A brother of my client died, and his estate used this contract before this trial. Another brother left the operation and used this contract's predecessor.
And what
the trial court disregarded it.
What years did those events occur in?
Best recollection, Your Honor, the brother who departed left before 2003. It was a predecessor to this contract. The brother Lance who died approximately 3 years before these parties separated, well after this contract. And my client's mother died 2 years before this proceeding commenced. Her estate was not fully completed, but the valuation process was. So the contract was used before there was a controversy in this dissolution proceeding. There's no question that there is no manipulation by the family to victimize Mrs. Brozek.
And in the application and / enforcement of this contract, was there a dispute about valuation?
No, there was not. There was not. In fact, Your Honor, it's important, I think, to know that the brother's spouse who died accepted the value in the estate proceeding, and this contract was essentially 100% of her wealth. And the family is still close to her. That's in the record. There's a good relationship with her.
So the numbers in the documents were accepted without...
Absolutely.
Without controversy. Is
absolutely.
That a fair statement?
Exactly.
But unquestionably, the price of land has gone up considerably since this agreement was signed.
There's no question about that, Your Honor. And there's also no question that mindful of that change in the value of land, and this corporation owns land. The parties to this dissolution proceeding do not own land. All of the land is inside this corporation. So when these folks got their gifted shares, one of the things that attended to those shares was the requirement that they accept them subject to these redemption terms. Precisely so the farm would go on and withstand the vicissitudes of the market. And Adolf Brozek was crystal clear about that in his testimony. I want the farming operation to go on. I've decided that's better for my family than individual decisions one by one. That's why Mother and I did it this way. I gave it to all of my children and their spouses that way. They took it that way. I want it enforced that way, and I expected it to be my estate to be held to it that way, too.
Have other jurisdictions in the context of buy-sell agreements looked outside the price indicated in the agreement in divorce cases?
Your Honor, we couldn't find anywhere that has occurred and where both parties have signed the agreement. There are many, many cases where only one party has signed the contract and the buy-sell agreement price has been ignored. A classic example, one that recurs, seems to be physicians' agreements to buy out their practice interests where one spouse is the signing physician. Those are ignored. But in cases which we found in Georgia, South Dakota, Minnesota, two more jurisdictions, I'm not sure which, they're on page 20 of our brief, opening brief.
Have you seen it with respect where the underlying asset is commonly seen as real estate, but nevertheless its legal formation is shares, like a co-op apartment in New York. They get litigated all the time.
They do,
and they exist as shares. They don't exist as real estate.
I can't recall that any of those cases were real estate holding companies, in effect, no. But they were businesses with significant goodwill. And I think it's fair to say that in this context, essentially, the ballooning up of the real estate market for farmland was seen by this family as goodwill to be disregarded. And I think Mr. Brozek and his father both made it crystal clear that they understand an important element of the physics of economics. And that is that when a balloon is inflated, no matter how much you care for it, no matter how you isolate it, no matter how you control it, it deflates. And now what we've seen here is that between the time of separation in 2011 and trial in 2014, the appraiser, a single appraiser, appraising for both parties found a $6 million increase in the land held by the corporation, represented by some of these shares representing some of it. But if we were to have it reappraised today, which we haven't done and we have no evidence to present to you, the horse may have a different color. So this contract should be found binding. Now that makes a difference of exactly $498,000 to our client. And that would not be a figure that's divided by two, because Mr. Brozek was ordered to buy the non-marital shares of his spouse, not at $12, but at $50. So we should have all of that adjustment.
If that was true, it seems like the trial court based the decision of not allowing alimony on the basis of what she received, the $600,000. So would that have to be looked at?
Absolutely, Your Honor. The other side's brought you that issue. You should look at it. You should look at it also in light of our argument about failure to give our client credit for his premarital assets, which are clearly proven in the exhibits. But when we have done that, and we think that's a $450,000 adjustment, which is divided by two on the premarital assets, when you've done that and get to alimony, then these are the questions. Number one, was there a substantial contribution to the marriage? That's controverted. She did a good job of raising the children. Number two, is she gainfully employed or employable? Well, the answer is she is working and she's doing what she's chosen to do.
At minimum wage.
Well, not at minimum wage, Your Honor. She's working at low wages.
Low wages.
There's significant earning disparity. The third thing is that she had no interruption of her career. And then the fourth and most important thing is that she's now had alimony since December of 2011. She's still getting it. And so that is a factor that needs to be considered. This is essentially, I said in the brief, a 218-month marriage in which at the time of briefing she'd had 33 or 34 months of alimony. So if there is alimony to be awarded, and we don't deny that you should look at that issue in light of our adjustments, those are considerations. Thank you. I'll save the rest of my time if I may.
Thank you. Mr. Westerhol, good morning.
Good Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Russ Westroll from the Fraser Stryker Law Firm, and I represent Shelly Brozek, who is the appellee and the cross-appellant in this matter. Let me dive into the issue of the redemption agreement, since you've heard about it from Mr. Domina. The first thing I'd like to point out to you is that there were three different valuation theories that were presented to the district court with respect to my client's shares in Brozek & Sons, Incorporated. My client presented expert testimony that valued the shares at $50 per share. Mr. Brozek presented expert testimony that valued the shares at $34 per share. And then there is the side argument that's being thrust upon you now that the shares are worth only $8.50 per share. The district court made a factual determination that my client's expert testimony was more credible on the issue of valuation. That's a determination that is entitled to deference from you. That is necessarily a factual determination that's entitled to deference from this court. And I think one thing that played into that credibility determination that I will point out to your honors is that when my client signed the agreement that was displayed to you earlier, she had already been gifted all 12,000 of her shares in Brozek & Sons, Incorporated. What the record would show you about her execution of the redemption agreement is that Mr. Brozek was the businessman of their marriage. It was common for her to sign things from the FSA, from the lawyers, from the accountants' tax returns, without reviewing them. Her express testimony was that she never reviewed the redemption agreement. Its legal effect was never explained to her, and at trial she testified that she still didn't know what a redemption agreement was or did. And I think that that played into the district court's...
Is there a threshold question? I understand what you're saying, that the judge was presented with some competing testimony and made a finding of fact. But prior thereto, is there a legal question as to whether or not redemption is controlled by the documents as a question, as a matter of law?
My opinion, Your Honor, is that the valuation of the shares is a matter of property division, which is controlled by the abuse of discretion.
And what is the significance of the documents and their redemption values?
Well, the documents don't speak to the issue of divorce. Okay, they do not speak to the issue of a divorce between two married shareholders. So,
what do they speak to? Ownership or distribution or beneficial ownership?
They speak to it's a classic buy-sell agreement that is intended to ensure that ownership of the shares stays within the family and that the shares are controlled by the family and not sold outside.
Well, it doesn't apply to transfers to related parties, does it?
Does not.
Okay.
So it does not, Your Honor.
Is there any significance to that?
Certainly. I think it brings this type of a situation outside the scope of the redemption area. And that was another reason cited by the district court in its decree for disregarding the share value in the redemption.
So under the agreement, a spouse can transfer it. Does transfer mean sell?
I would assume it does. I don't believe that word is defined in the agreement.
No, I know the word sell is not used. But so your point is that the spouse could have transferred this to her parents or sold it to her parents.
That is one of my points, Your Honor. But overall, my point with respect to the redemption agreement is that in equity, why should Mr. Brozek get to buy for $8.50 a share what is undisputedly worth six times more? Why should he get
Well, Mr. Dahmer is going to get, he probably has, it'll say again, it because they signed this agreement and it's binding.
Not in equity, Your Honor. That's our position. And if you look at the case law, that's consistent with conclusions that this court has made and courts that other states have made. What I analogized it to in my brief is this. The only situation under which, the only set of circumstances under which Mr. Brozek would receive $8.50 per share for the shares that he got from my client or will get from my client is if he decided to sell them. He testified at trial that he's never going to sell his shares. And so it seems to me to be a little bit of a red herring to judge value on a set of circumstances that is admittedly never going to occur. And what I've analogized that to is...
If he were to acquire them, what does it matter with his disposition thereafter?
I'm sorry, I don't think I followed
your question.
You
said you would never sell them. What's the significance of that?
Well, because his sale of them would be the only set of circumstances under which he would receive $8.50 per share. That is the, the argument that's being made is that the price in the redemption agreement is equivalent to the value for which he should be able to acquire them. So the arbitrary price of the agreement is equated to value.
So your fundamental assumption throughout this is that the price is equated with their value in the marketplace as opposed to a stipulated price.
Yes, that their value should be judged, and in this case it was done by valuing the underlying assets of the corporation and then coming up with it.
Could the judge have used some other way to equalize the distribution of wealth here?
Absolutely, Your Honor. In this case, we have asked the court, my client has asked of this court three things, three modifications to the decree. We have asked that it be modified to make an award of alimony to my client. We've asked that it be modified to make a grace award to my client. We've asked that it be modified to make an award of attorney's fees. But let me speak to the issue of alimony, Your Honors. The district court denied my client alimony by saying, in so many words, that she had been, she'd received enough with respect to the property division. He said, I gave you enough money in the property division. And that's an impermissible conclusion to draw under our statutes. Under Chapter 42, Section 365, it says that the issues of property division and alimony should be considered separately. It is an abuse of discretion to consider them together, and that's exactly what the district court did. Now, if the issue of alimony is properly considered separately, my client is undeniably entitled to an award of alimony. And the court's amended decree all but concedes that by stating all of these things. First, this is a long-term marriage, almost two decades. My client is 52 years old today. I believe Mr. Brozek is 50. So these are older people approaching the age of retirement.
Would you refresh our memory on the income disparity? What is the income of Mr. Brozek and what is yours?
Brozek's income at the time of trial was determined to be approximately $8,000 to $9,000 per month. My client's was in the middle thousands, maybe $1,600 or $1,800 a month.
A month.
So there is a tremendous disparity in earning capacity here. And perhaps, Your Honor, I should say, edging towards the age of retirement. I apologize.
50 did not seem so close to retirement to me.
But anyway, so there is a tremendous difference in earning capacity in this case. And there is the element of need. My client received $3,000 per month in temporary alimony during the pendency of these proceedings before trial. That $3,000 a month plus her monthly earnings were still not enough to meet her basic living expenses. So there is a pronounced need here. And there is no evidence to suggest that Mr. Brozek, based on his earning capacity, couldn't support himself and my client for a reasonable period of time. But the real inequity in that alimony decision is going to show up in 10 or 15 years. I mean, Mr. Brozek and Mrs. Brozek, during their marriage, built a substantial marital estate. And it was essentially divided equally between them by the trial court. Mr. Brozek got all of the income-producing assets, the farming operation. And so it's assumed that he's going to continue to produce income from that. And in 10 or 15 years, his nest egg, so to speak, his half of the marital estate is going to increase. And when he reaches the age of retirement, he should be in a good position. Not true for my client, though. Not true for my client. What she was told by the district court is that you're going to have to invade your nest egg, so to speak, your half of the marital estate, just to live. So in 10 or 15 years, my client's position is going to be nowhere near Mr. Brozek's. Nowhere near Mr. Brozek's. And that's where the
real
thing
happened. Because of her asset mix.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, she received cash. She received cash as her part of the property. So what we have asked the court to do is what the record supports, which is an award of alimony in the amount of $3,000 per month for 10 years. And we would ask for that modification. I see I'm about out of time. If there are any questions that I can ask or answer for your honors, I'd be happy to do so. Otherwise, thank you.
Thank you. Do we have time for rebuttal?
He has 38 seconds.
38 seconds, Mr. Domina.
Your Honor, don't drive the tractor into the jurisprudential swamp. I present an issue of law under this contract, not a matter of discretion for the trial court. And this purchase of these shares was not used to equalize the marital estate. It was a separate and distinct order that my clients buy these shares at an inflated price. Reversal and remand are necessary. Not remand, correction by you. Thank you. One final thing. At age 50, we were at about 274 Nebraska.
Thank you. With that, we will go on to the next case of the day, Pierce versus Mutual of Omaha Insurance Company. Mr. Benson, good morning.
Morning. I should